Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. Boy, it's good to be here, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, last week, you know, somebody said the service went to the dogs later, you know, but we had an awesome service yesterday, and today we had a ball. I don't know what's going to happen next. Come on back next week and we'll make sure that something happens, or the Lord will make sure something happens. We're just family here, and we want to share everything with you. I like to share life with you. I just don't want to share a message. I want to share life with you, and that's part of our sharing life and happiness and joy. And I want to share a testimony. Crystal Daniels, are you here? You're here? Come on down, sweetheart. She has a testimony to share with you. Concerning her life. How many of you know that we need to share testimonies, whether it's in here or outside? We need to tell people about the goodness of our God. Amen? Can you just lean? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
First of all, could I just read out of Psalms 116?
Just... You got it marked? Mm-hmm. I thought so.
Psalms 116, verse 1 through 7. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell gate hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. And the Lord has dealt bountifully I've gone through a lot over the last 4 months. It started even before then. It started last year. I didn't know what the problem was. I was having some problems with my side vision. I couldn't, you know, see very clear. It was foggy. I was having nosebleeds, and then I started having real bad headaches. And I would try to tell the doctors everything that was going on and try to be as specific as I could. And I went for a CAT scan or MRI, and the MRI was actually for my neck because I was having neck pain. But I was called later on, and they told me, Miss Daniel, do you know you have a pituitary tumor? And I said, no, I did not. So I went through all that. And I was told about some doctors in Asheville by my back doctor, which was from Asheville. And I started going to the specialist in Asheville, and they told me, they said, does your family know how serious this operation is? Because you're going to need an operation, because we want to save your eyesight. They said, you know, that can be something that pituitary gland does. It can make you lose your eyesight. And I later found out that it also affects your balance, and I did not know that. I was had gone through my operation and had come back home, and I started having some problems at home. I couldn't hold my head up. I kept having a lot of pain, and all of a sudden, I just started having cerebral spinal fluid draining from my nose. And so I had to, I said to my husband, I said, I don't think I'm going to make the appointment. The appointment was for the next day. And I said, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I said, I don't know. I said, I'm going to try. So I went to bed that night, And my husband came in the bedroom to check on me, and he said I was very cold. I don't remember any of this. He said I was talking all out of my head and everything. But during the time that I was talking out of my head, they told me that I just kept on saying, God's got this. I don't remember that either. But God's got this. So I went through the second operation, and I just remember that I went in on a Monday night. I don't remember anything until the Wednesday, 2 days later. I don't remember anything that happened. But I would just like to thank all of my church family, all of my family members, my husband. I'd just like to thank everybody for whatever they did for me, what I couldn't do for myself. My sister had to come and give me a bath and all. Miss B came, and she made some delicious potato soup. And people that just prayed for me. Pastor Charlie, he came and he prayed the first surgery. And Pastor John came and visited me one day. I think that was the second surgery. And any time that I felt down and out, it just seemed like all of a sudden somebody just popped up. So I just thank you all. I thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you, church family. Amen. And just continue to pray for me and pray that I get stronger.
Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. Bless you, Lord. Great job. You know, we need to hear testimonies about the goodness of God, and so we can actually show him off. Amen. Really need to show him off. How many of you had fun so far? It's raining, it's pouring, church is no longer boring.
Pastor,
yes, yes.
Tell them about Wednesday night Bible study.
Tell them.
Oh.
I was expounding over here. I was expounding. Anointed. I was really in it. And I was saying something, and all of a sudden I heard, oh, y'all can help me. How are you going? Oh, that's how they were doing. And I'm like, man, I've really struck a chord. You know, I'm like, and I turned around, and here's somebody bringing in a dog. A little puppy. And they're just oohing and aahing over the puppy, and I'm thinking, well, I really hit a home run. And then I wondered, I said, did y'all hear anything that I said? No. Oh, life is good, isn't it? It is good. Well, the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. He really does. And he wants us to, and I'm sure I've given him plenty to laugh about this morning. You know, but we have a moment that we want to honor, and this being Memorial Day weekend, I'd like to wonder if I could get some help in honoring those that have given their lives for this country, for our freedom. I'd like for those that are the veterans, I'd like for you to come up and help me honor these great men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice. So, veterans, if y'all just come on up. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Richard, if I'd known it was going to take you that long to get down here, I'd have said it 5 minutes ago.
Me.
Who, me? Richard helps us in the office. He's still serving God and still serving his country as well. But thank God for all of these men and women. They have given, they've sacrificed part of their living for what they wanted to do, and they gave that up in order to do what it was they were called to do. And we want to honor them today, and we're going to show a video after we give them all the applause. We're going to honor those that have fallen, their fallen comrades. So honor them today with your gracious, gracious gratitude. Thank you. Amen. Yeah. You may be seated.
Okay. I want to stand in for the 90 million Christians that were martyred last year. You know, they say there's about 270 people that at least claim to be Christians in the United States. That's one-third of the number of Christians in the United States that were martyred last year. So I just want you to remember those and to realize that we're in a war.
Amen. I'm not good at giving these things, but about face. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. Still paying you? Yeah. You know, somebody says, you know, well, why would he think it? You know, God says to be thankful for all things. I got about a 45-minute message. Can you handle it? Yeah, but on another day. I heard you. It is good to be with you this morning. Visitors as well, it's so good to have you. I want you to go. I'm going to just share just a couple of things. I don't have time to get into everything. But by the way, if you didn't, how many of you, last Sunday we had so much happening here about the Acts 2 church, or the Acts church. It was so, so God. And we have a lot of needs met, and I know that Debbie and Ed, don't worry, that's just those moments that I have. I forget some of my own elders sometimes. I didn't know Lee one time. I said, and he said, Lee. And I said, oh, yeah, Lee, yeah, you. But anyway, they are so overwhelmed by your benevolence and your goodness, and we're still taking in money. I think we've got close to $5,000 already, and we've got a lot of furniture that needs to get to these guys when they get into their home. So make sure you keep this newsletter. There's a number. That number is good, right? That's a good number, so that you can call them to arrange a time for you to be able to deliver it, or for them, or some kind of arrangement. But I want you to be able to get that to them. I'm just really listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm just really trying to find out exactly what he wants to do. I want to share some thoughts with you. This thing about springboard last Sunday, I'm telling you, it is a word from God. And it right after the word came, you started seeing the miraculous begin to happen. You saw all the things happen quickly last Sunday. And we're seeing the same things begin to happen. And I looked at that and I asked the Lord more about the springboard. And he said, it's over something that is a place that I'm going to take you, but you're going to spring into action because the springboard gives you more energy. It energizes you, and it puts you at a higher place for you to be able to dive into the very things of God with no hesitation. Amen. And that's what's beginning to happen. And that's what's beginning to happen in our midst. That's what's beginning. The turning of the hand of the Lord here and at other places as well. There's a lot of things that God is going to be doing that is going to rock your world. And how many of you know that the church a lot of times has sort of lost the awe, being awed about God, being awed over him? The awe of God is returning. And why I say that is because we're going to be rekindled with our vision and our thought and our hunger and the desire to see him manifested more so in our midst than we've ever seen it before. By the way, you know, we talked about the manifest presence of God. Do you know the earth groans? The Bible says that the earth groans. All creation is groaning. But what is it groaning for? Does anybody remember? The revealing, the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God. Creation out here, the trees, all the created things are in a groaning mode in order to be able, because it's desiring, all creation is created by him, is desiring to see the revealing, the manifestation of the, everybody say sons, the sons of God. It didn't say the children of God, it said the sons of God, the weos, the sons, the mature ones. What does that mean? Creation is groaning to see Christians grow up. Groaning to see the manifestation of a Christian that has grown and is growing, following God and becoming more and more Christ-like in our presentation of living. That's what the earth's groaning for. Do you know that your destination and your destiny are two different things? Just like the omnipresence and the manifested presence, it's two different things. Your destination and your destiny is two different things. When you are born again, you have a destination that you're going to reach. That's heaven. The unfortunate thing is most Christians think that's all they are. I'm glad for heaven, aren't you? I'm glad for the destination that one day I'll be with him, never to be separated, never to be apart again for eternity. But our destiny is to live in the fullness of who he is on this earth. That's our destiny. There's a lot of destinies that have been sacrificed, given up on, and hanging on only to the destination. The destination was not the question. Once you receive Christ, the destination is not a question. The destiny is. Will you fulfill? Will you and I fulfill the very destiny that is upon our lives to be lived out and to be able to push back darkness, to be able to influence people to know him, to follow him, and to become a follower of him, to be a disciple. Church is full of converts, but not many disciples. It's got a lot of people that's been born again, but they're not being discipled in him. And he said for us to learn of him. Take his yoke and learn of him. And in the process of doing that, we will grow. We will become like him in our living. He's already inside us. But our destiny is to become like him in our living. And in the process of becoming like him, we'll glorify him. So don't just hold on to your destiny. Your destiny is secure. Now, if you do not know him, your destiny is in a different place than where he wants you to go. Destination, I should say. Your destination is in a different place. That's the reason it's imperative for you to know Christ as our Lord Jesus, our Savior. It's imperative for us to have that realization in our life and that acceptance of him, that him accepting us like he has. He died for us. Our destination is secure. We're heaven bound. But some of us are unfulfilled in our destinies because we've not ventured into the depth of who he is and following him. I'm going to talk to you next week, I think. I'm going to give you something next week that I'm telling you. I would give it to you today, but if I just open it up, it will just be, I think I would be like a fire hydrant. I'd just squirt all over you, and it wouldn't have a valve, so, and it may be too long. Our destiny in Him is extremely important. The enemy, he can't steal your salvation. He doesn't have that power, doesn't have that authority. But he can certainly try to steal, kill, and destroy your destiny and make you and I ineffective or not as effective on this planet in the place that we're deposited in our living. And he wants us to be able to grab hold of the destiny that we have and run with it. And if it's a giant that we must run toward, then we still run. For our destiny is in his hands, and we want to complete everything about what he's given us to do. You know, it's one thing I struggle with when somebody, as a Christian, and they say, I'm bored. The very Creator created you, and you have the creativity inside you to be able to speak forth, to be able to do things, to be able to say things, to be able to accomplish things. The very creative, and you're bored? Sounds like to me where mindset is on a different thing than what he told us to be upon, what it needs to be upon. Now, I'm not saying I've never said I haven't. I have in my Christian life. I've said, you know, I'm bored, you know. But the realization is I wasn't really bored. I was distracted. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Distracted from the very destiny that he said is yours, is mine. I have a destiny that I know I shall fulfill. Is that true? You're going to fulfill your destiny. If you have a heart for him and keep a mindset that is, you keep your mind upon him. We're going to be talking about something next week that, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is. So the house will either be full or empty, but that's your choice, not mine. I'm going to talk to you about overcoming negativity. I'm telling you, we need to hear this word. I've been ready to give it for 2 weeks, and so far the Lord has sort of like, okay, so I think we're pulling the plug next week. Maybe. But no matter what, I want the Spirit of God to do what he wants to do. It's not about the message, it's about him. Is that true? Most of us have a mindset that is negative, that has negativity, and it begins to grow in us in a way, and what it does, negativity will kill everything it touches. It will rob you and I of the destiny that we should be living out. I'm telling you the truth. Every one of you, from this side all the way to this side, down to the kids and in the nursery up there, every one of you have a God-enriched destiny that is inside you to be able to accomplish everything that he wants you to accomplish, to be able to do everything that he wants you to do. His purposes are laying before you and I. Some we know about, some we don't know about, but we will know about it when we get there. A lot of times we want to know about, you know, we want to know about, well, what's going to happen a year from now? Well, what about right now? A year from now will come. We may not see it. You're not promised tomorrow. Neither am I. But what are we doing today? How are we living today? How is our actions today? How are our words? How negative are we? How much do we complain? How much do we murmur? How much do we grumble? How much? I'm not asking you that to answer. I'm just saying, you know, and all that does is, you know, it postpones the living out of our destiny. Negativity will postpone you living out. Not your destination. That's secure. But we can be so heavenly minded as far as about thinking, going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven, that we're no earthly good. Why? Because it's all about where we're going and not where we are and what he wants me to do now. You have something to do now that has his name written all over it, that has his word upon it, that has his spirit leading you into. But negativity will cause us to be blind to it. I'm telling you the truth. So we shall see if the house will be full or empty. Next. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nancy, me and you will have a wonderful time. No, I'm sure you're going to come. But I'm telling you, you probably know somebody. So you probably know some people that needs to hear what needs to be said. We've got to learn as Christians that there are internal disciplines. When we have the Holy Spirit inside us, we have the internal disciplines of who he is, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit, do you know what it is? Love, do you know what they are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Evidence, that should be evidence. Those attitudes, those qualities should be evidence of our following the Spirit of God. Did you see grumbling as one of them? Complaining? Murmuring? Negative? You know, people say, you know what, can you not ever complain? Sure you can. When you bring with it a remedy. Now you're part of the solution, not part of the problem. Jesus saw a lot of things wrong when he came on this earth, yes or no? He saw a lot of things wrong that was happening in a lot of people. And he didn't mind sharing what he saw wrong. But listen, did he have a remedy? Absolutely. Him, his sacrifice, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That was his remedy. With everything that he saw negative, everything that he saw, that was his remedy. So if there are something that needs to be talked about, discussed, it's fine to talk about a conflict as long as we're talking about the conflict in order to find the resolution of the conflict. That is the Christian way, I'm telling you. That is the way of God. Amen. Amen. Well, let me read this. I probably just need to read something, don't I? And then we'll go home. Listen to this out of Romans 8, and we'll talk about it more next week, but I want you to hear this. The mindset. If your mindset is really set on the negative things, you're headed in a direction that you're not going to like. Not talking about your destiny. Talking about the fulfillment of the lack of fulfillment in your destiny. Not your destination. I'll get it right. Romans 8:6 says, the mindset that is on the flesh is death. The mindset that is on the spirit is life and peace. So when your mindset, the way you're thinking is set upon the spirit, the Bible says that it produces life and peace. So measure the amount of life and peace that you have in your life, and that will let you know where your mindset is. He says, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. Everybody say the word hostile. A mindset on the flesh is hostile. It's hostile toward God. I don't even like the way that sounds. Didn't say that God was hostile toward you. He said you were hostile toward him. A mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For why is that? For it is not subject. It does not subject itself to the law of God, to the law of the only creator. For is not even able to do so. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So go home with this thought. How much of my thoughts are negative? How much of my thinking is dwelt upon the things that are not going my way, things that are not, doesn't look like they're headed in the direction that I want them to go? How much negativity do I have in my life? For every amount of negativity that you have is the hostility that in that area of your life that you're hostile toward God, because you will not be in favor of God's purposes and be negative. Negativity will just put you in a place that you can not only have a hostility in your heart toward the purposes of God, but you'll also infect others. How many of you have ever been around a negative person? Now, with the other hand, how many of you were that negative person? We do have some honest people. You know, you get around some negative people, it's just negative, negative, negative. All they're out of negative. After a while, you're just like, I can't, you know, it just really is. Why? Because it's just working, it's working, it's working against you. So are you talking about positive thinking? I said, no, I'm talking about a renewed mind that Romans 12:2 said that you need to have. Our renewing of our thinking will cause us to be transformed. There's a lot of people that have been translated out of darkness into light. They've been born again. They've been translated from darkness into the light, but they have not been transformed. Transformation only comes when mine and your mind is being renewed, or in the process of being renewed in the Word of God and properly aligned thinking with Him. Can't you just see him? I don't know what I'm going to do next. Would you look at that? Would you look at that? Would you look at that? No, he's not that way. Long-suffering he is. And he loves you and I. So, come on back next week and you'll find a way out of negativity. You'll be able to see what it looks like, how you get there, and what you can do to change it. Invite your negative friends. That could be your family. Now, don't tell them, don't go to them. Say, look, hello, my little negative friend. Would you go with me next Sunday? You need to hear what the pastor's going to preach about. You don't need to do that. Just invite them to come. I honestly believe that if we capture the truth and let the revelation of God begin to speak to mine and your heart concerning this, it will revolutionize this house. And it won't stay in this house. It'll revolutionize everywhere we go. It will change the environment wherever we go. We need to reset the atmosphere wherever we are. We need to reset the atmosphere so the presence of God can be manifested. He's already there. So the manifestation of God can be seen. We are given that to bring them light, to bring them salt, to bring them into a place of seeing Jesus as he really is. You can't do that and be negative. You ever been caught before? Rassum, fassum, and all of a sudden you run into, one honest soul, I've been caught before. You bump into something, and all of a sudden it's just, why did they put that there? Well, they ought to know better. This is a tripping hazard. I mean, it's got all kind of stuff around it. It's right here. But anyway, and all of a sudden you get hurt, or you bump, and it just irritates you. And just, negativity just flows out, and then somebody walks up and said, listen, I'm really hurt. Would you pray for me? Oh, sure I will. I would love to. Listen, I know I'm making light, but I'm telling you, there's so much reality in what we feel. But see, the reality of who we are, even though we'll try to pray, the reality of who we are, we're agitated on the inside. Come on back next week. We're going to have a ball. No, we had that today. So we'll have a good time. Okay? Let's stand to our feet. Anybody want to get saved? Anybody here, if you want to get saved today, you're not sure that you are, you want to surrender your life to God, you've played around with religion maybe, I don't know what. But I really want to surrender my life to God. I want to get saved. I want him in my life. And I want to know that he's in my life. Anybody? Let me get up here. Anybody? Okay. Does anybody want to defeat negativity? Yes. Come on back next week. And we'll learn how to do that together. Amen. Listen, tomorrow's Memorial Day. Spend time with your children. Spend time with your friends. Even if you don't have children, spend time with your friends. Discussing honor. Discussing sacrifice. Discussing duty. Discussing freedom. Just spend a little time doing that. While you cook or whatever. Just honor those who gave the ultimate price, their life. And while you're at it, discuss the freedom that you have that Jesus gave you. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for who you are inside us. Help us to see the dangers of being negative. Show us the pathway to overcome it. To walk with the purposes of God fully operational in our being. That the words of our mouth would be words of life and words of power, that it will transform and it will pierce the atmosphere and even the hearts of those that are around us. Spring us forward from this springboard. Take us into the fullness of our destiny, for we are willing to go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.